Let us pray. Gracious Lord, allow your Holy Spirit to inspire and to transform us, bringing us closer to your image. Amen. Well, a couple of weeks ago, we held our first hymn sing in Eagle Rock in roughly 2 years. It was so wonderful and meaningful and moving just to be there. And I was reminded of the love I have for the quaint little church on the hill. Its history, simplicity, the sweet spirit it exudes, and not to mention its incredible acoustics. One of the attendees of the hymn sing, who I didn't know, requested the old hymn, Beulah Land, which I hadn't heard in years. It goes like this. Oh, Beulah Land, sweet Beulah Land, as on thy highest mount I stand, I look away across the sea, where mansions are prepared for me, and view the shining glory shore, my heaven, my home forevermore. I sat on the second pew back from the front, weeping as the song suddenly resonated with me feelings of God's profound love and grace. Because without these two things, we would never experience our Beulah Land. In our epistle to the Ephesians this morning, Paul talks a great deal about the grace that God has lavished on us. He begins to pray for the church, one that is rooted and grounded in love, and not tossed about by the winds of adversity, not even the storms that tear our hearts apart. We are deeply rooted, and from these roots, we draw nurture to be fully alive in Christ. It is significant that the apostle says we are rooted in what we know, but rather we are rooted and grounded in love. There is a big difference and what we love, and who we love. Verse 19 kind of concludes the prayer part of this text by saying that he prays we will know this love that surpasses knowledge. But what does this mean? For us, our mission is to fill and integrate our love of God into every facet of our beings. As C.S. Lewis reminds us, the devil knows a lot more about God than all of us. If we are to participate in God's mission of bringing heaven and earth back together, we have to be rooted and grounded in the love of God and Christ. We have to know this love that surpasses knowledge. Let me attempt to illustrate this. Let's say we walk out of church today and we gather in a large circle in our church garden. As we do that, we watch our beloved Willis ascend into heaven to be seen no more. I would imagine for every single one of us, it would be pretty life-changing. We'd tell everybody about this incredible thing we saw, and most people wouldn't believe us. But we know what we saw, and we would get together and we would talk about it. We'd gather at least probably once a week, most certainly on Sunday mornings, and talk about how much we loved Willis. We'd talk about the stories. Other people would hear about it, and a movement would get started. As the movement grew and the generations passed, we would realize it was important to write these things down so that it could be passed on to other generations. In time, other people that weren't eyewitnesses to Willis would begin to write stories too. These people would begin to write stories about this account, studying intensely for years, so they could become more educated on the matter. But there's a major problem. the stories wouldn't necessarily be historically accurate. You see, they couldn't say that they knew Willis. For that, you would have had to have a relationship with him. You would have had to know him with a love that surpasses knowledge about him. Now, to answer the question you're all asking, yes, I did get Willis's permission to use him as an analogy. I just didn't tell him what the analogy would be. I hope he is honored to be used as an analogy to the risen Christ. After all, it's pretty difficult to find illustrations for Paul's theology. Our thirsty souls have to know God. We have to be called unto him. The Holy Spirit is inviting us to cross over from knowing about to knowing. Keep in mind, the Apostle Paul did not write the epistle to the Ephesians, but to the Ephesians. It was not written to an individual, but to a community of faith that had become a dwelling place of God because they gather in Christ. We are also a community of faith because we too gather together in Christ, which means we too become the dwelling place of God because Christ promises to be present because we gather in his name. As we gather as a community, there are people around us who aren't like us, whose story is not our story, and who might even have a different perspective on theology from us, even though they love the same Jesus Christ that we do. But isn't that what life's all about? To receive the gifts that the Holy Spirit is trying to give us, and therefore to be rooted and grounded in love for these gifts. For as Christ made clear, you cannot say that you love God without loving your neighbor. You can't even know God without loving your neighbor. To clarify, we're not talking about the metaphorical neighbor who's just out there somewhere, whose name and story we don't know, but rather we're talking about the real neighbor. It's a lot easier to love a metaphor than it is to love the actual person. As we authentically reach out to people who are fallen and flawed, as we all are, we are called to receive the gifts the Spirit is giving us. And as we enter into covenant with them, as God has made a covenant with us, we get to not only know this other person, but we know Christ better. And more of Christ, because we find more of Christ in this other person. When that happens in our community, when it is authentically in Christ, rooted and grounded in love, finding a knowledge of love that surpasses all other knowledge, then the community is transformed into something more than a church or a building, but a movement that can make a world of difference. More than we can strategically plan, more than we could ever hope for. As we follow Christ's leading into the world that is dying to know such a love, more can happen than we can imagine. In the words of the Apostle Paul, now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we all can ask or imagine. To him, by glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen.